Parables today, we come to Luke chapter 15, where we read three parables, all with a similar theme, being lost and then found. There's the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, or as we more commonly say, the prodigal son, who went into the far country, wasted his life there, and then returned to his waiting father. Now, these three parables, because I'm shortening the message a little today, I'm not going to speak about them all in detail, but these three parables arise from an incident recorded at the beginning of chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man," that is Jesus, "welcomes sinners and eats with them." To eat with someone is a sign that we respect him or her and want to be his or her friend. That's the way it is now, isn't it, in our own day? If we want to be sociable with someone, we might invite them to a meal. Or if they call at our house and we want to be relaxed with them, we offer them a cup of tea. It's not that we think that they are thirsty, but eating or drinking a cup of tea with them is a sign of welcome, and it gives us a relaxed atmosphere. And this is why the Pharisees object to Jesus eating with these people, because in doing so, he's showing goodwill to these tax collectors who were dishonest traders, and other sinners too. He was relaxed with them. And the religious leaders object. But they're objecting to the very gospel itself, because the gospel is that God welcomes us as his people in spite of all our human failings and sins. God's word to us is first of all a word of goodwill. Remember, the angels at Christmas said, "Glory to God in the highest." And by the way, that's what we've written on the front of our St. David's Christmas card, which I hope you're going to distribute. Glory to God in the highest and goodwill towards men. And the message of the gospel and the message of Christmas is that God tells us that we belong to him in spite of our sins. And he wants to take us back home to where we belong. Now, when Jesus ate with sinners, their lives were changed. They didn't just continue in their sin. But he didn't first demand that they repent and then afterwards offer them friendship and come to their homes. It was the other way round. It was in giving them his friendship that they were brought to repentance. God did not demand first that the world reform its ways, and then he would send his son Jesus to us, but rather his coming among us, amidst all our sinfulness, calls us to return to him. I was reading an article in a theological magazine this week, written by a friend of mine who lectures in New College in Edinburgh, David Wright, and it was on the subject faith and belonging. And he was saying in the article that very often in the church, we've demanded that people come to a mature faith first, and then we say that they can belong to us and do something for us and help us in the church. But David Wright, I think rightly, was questioning that. He was saying, isn't it that we should allow people to feel that they belong to us and even help us in our Christian work? And then in that belonging and then in that fellowship, they find themselves growing into faith and commitment to the Lord. when we look at the disciples, they were men of very little understanding. But right from the beginning, Christ involved them in his ministry. And as he involved them, he taught them too. And that brought a transformation to their lives. This last summer, we had the evangelist Tony Campolo preaching to thousands of teenagers in Glasgow. And before he began his campaign, he had a meeting for church leaders, and I attended the meeting. And I remember him saying that we in the churches should use our young people, even if they are not mature. Because as we use them and as they feel that they can belong to us, be part of the worship, for example, then they will grow in faith, far more effective than expecting them to come to faith first, and then only do we make them feel they belong. And I think he was right. But that was Christ's way, wasn't it? And when we meet people in our daily lives of whom we disapprove, our first reaction must not be judgmental, but gracious. Of course, this graciousness and welcome won't force people to come back to God, and so there does have to be a warning as a last resort. And so Jesus did most certainly speak of God's final judgment upon the wicked who remained unrepentant, but this was not his purpose. He did not come, John tells us, to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Hence these three parables of Luke 15, the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost or the prodigal son. The lost sheep, the shepherd, goes to the distant mountains to search for the lost sheep and rejoices when he brings the lost sheep home. The woman searches on the dark earth floor of her house and rejoices in finding the lost coin. God searches for us. There are many people in our day, particularly in our Western world, who are searching themselves for the spiritual meaning of life. And they turn to all sorts of magic and superstition to do so. But the question we must ask ourselves and ask them is, are they prepared to allow the true God to find them? Or are they using these superstitious things they get into as a means of avoiding God who is searching for them? Many people, when they are converted, will admit that God has been calling to them down the years. The next parable seems different, the parable of the lost son, because he comes back to the father of his own free choice and is welcomed back by his waiting father. So in the first parables, the shepherd and the woman go and look for the sheep or the coin, and in the parable of the lost son, the father waits for his son to return to him. And both those aspects are, of course, true. If you look at your own Christian life, and if I look at mine, I can see that God was searching for me. Through various people and experiences, he found me and brought me home. Yet I can also look at my Christian life, the same story, and I can remember that I decided that I was going to return to God. So both these aspects are true. You think of Jesus himself. He is the Son of God who came from heaven to this earth, the far country, to search for us. But he also is not only the Son of God, he's the Son of Man, he's one of us, who returns from the far country, that's this earth, to his Father in heaven, when he ascended to heaven, having paid the price for our sins. Now the parable of the lost sheep, let's think of that for a moment. It's a familiar Old Testament theme. All we like sheep have gone astray. We haven't all made a deliberate decision to be wicked, but many of us have wandered away, like sheep wander away, from the place where we should be, and that may be far from God. Now the shepherd knows that his sheep are in danger, and the wickedness of mankind is very dangerous. We mustn't be afraid to say that. It has appalling consequences in this world, and ultimately its wages are eternal outer darkness, as Jesus said. And so there is great danger. But the shepherd puts his own life at risk in going to search for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep so that the world might be forgiven. And there's rejoicing, Jesus says, in heaven over one sinner that repents. Our final restoration with God must wait until after we leave this world, after we die. And so there's rejoicing too in heaven when we reach our final destination, when we repent here on earth, and when we reach our final destination. The Psalms say, "Precious to the Lord is the death of his people." God welcomes us with joy into his eternal home. To us here on earth, death is rightly a source of grief, and we're right to be grieved by it. And the Lord grieves with us. Yet in another sense, there's rejoicing in heaven when we repent and also when we reach our final destination. And that's why a Christian funeral should reflect both the grief and the joy, both the cross and the resurrection. And now finally, let's think of just one thing only in the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. He got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." And then the father brings him into the home and they have a feast together. In other words, the father eats with his son who had squandered all his wealth. And he says, "This is my son. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so they began to celebrate. Once Christ entered our death, he was dead on our behalf, and now is alive again, risen for us. And he once said, in a vision he gave to John on the island of Patmos, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." May all of us find that true in this life and in its fullness in the life to come. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bless you for your great love and welcome to us who have been lost sinners, and in coming to you, we put behind us all those things that have been wrong in our lives. May we, day by day, be more like Christ, who has welcomed us into his eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.